right. Grab your Bible, grab your journal, and let's get ready to learn together. If we have not met, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get to hang here and serve here with students, specifically with Shoreline. And we are tonight continuing our series we're walking through this summer called Long Story Short. And it's a short overview of the long history of God's love for us. And so we're walking through the story of the Bible, and we're looking at and being encouraged by and being reminded of the fact that from the beginning of the story, from the beginning of your story, of your life, from the beginning of this, the creation of this world, God loved us, and he demonstrated it in so many different ways all along the way. And so we're continuing our series tonight, and here's how I want to begin tonight. I want to begin with a question. And I want you to truly think of, come up with a picture in your mind. What comes to your mind when you imagine yourself living a successful life? Like, take a couple moments. Think about that. What comes to your mind when you imagine yourself living a successful life? Whether it's a year from now or 5 years from now or 10 years down the road, what is that picture? What are you doing? What are you experiencing? Where are you? How is your life? What comes to mind when you imagine yourself living a successful life? Okay, you got it? It's in your head somewhere? Great. Well, I have already done this exercise just for the purpose of this message. And I thought back to my high school self, like the prime of my high school career, you know, the beginning of my junior year. And I thought back to, man, what did I think? What did I imagine would be a successful life that I would be living in the years to come? And just for you guys, I have a picture montage of exactly what I thought it would be. Okay, so here we have me on LeBron James's body. So I'm ripped, I'm jacked, I'm tall, I'm 6'8". I have the graduation hat and the diploma. So I've finished college, I've graduated, I've started a job, obviously. I own a home, I own an amazing truck. And of course, I'm married to my forever crush, Jennifer Aniston. And life is great. I have as much money as I can possibly have to where I just put it on my chest in the middle of photos. It's great. That's what I pictured when I imagined myself in the future experiencing a successful life. And while there's nothing wrong with, a house or a wife or a car or a ripped body or money, they are not indicators of a successful life. They're just not. They're not indicators of a successful life. And most of us, if we're honest, maybe if you even thought about the picture in your mind, most of us have a flawed view of what a successful life really looks like. But thankfully, we have God's word to give us clarity. And so I want to invite you to grab your Bible, grab your journal, and let's get ready to learn together. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to see how to experience a truly successful life. Not the one you think you should have, not the one the world or the culture tells you should have, but the one that God invites you into. How to experience a truly successful life. And we're going to look at 3 points that God is going to share with us from his word as to how you can experience a truly successful life. And the 3 points are this. To experience a truly successful life, you listen to God, you look back on his work in your life, and you leave your idols behind. You listen to God, you look back on his work in your life, and you leave your idols behind. This is how you truly experience a successful life. And where we are in the history of the Bible and God's love and care for us, this reality is made so plain and evident for us. So just to recap, last week, Will caught us up to where Moses was leading the people, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. They were walking through the wilderness. They were wandering in the wilderness. And Moses gave his final sermon and encouragement to them. And we're picking up where he left off in the book of Joshua. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to book of Joshua chapter 1. And Moses and the older generation that were wandering in the wilderness, they all were about to pass away, the last of them were. And Joshua was taking over the leadership of the nation of Israel, and he was going to lead the charge of bringing them into the land that God had promised to them, you know, centuries upon centuries before. And so they were going to possess this promised land, which was a provision to them by God, and also a judgment on the people that were living in the land already, because those people had forgotten God. Those people had rejected God, had rebelled against his will and his way. And so the nation of Israel was going to take conquest of the land of promise. And so we see the first way that you can experience a truly successful life is found in listening to God. So in Joshua chapter 1, I want you to look at verses 7 through 9. So God's given his words of wisdom, his words of advice to Joshua, and by extension to you, high school student, in 2021, if you want to experience a truly successful life, here's what God says to Joshua, and I encourage and recommend that you take it to heart as well. Joshua 1, verse 7. God speaking, he says this, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And so we see God giving this word of advice to this leader of the nation of Israel. And I think to you, high schooler in 2021, if you want to experience a truly successful life, it starts with listening to God, with understanding what he has said, with meditating on it, with resting in it, with believing it, and with following it with all your heart. That's what he says to Joshua. And so God is in essence saying, hey, man, I hold all wisdom in my hand, and I want to give it to you. My word is true, and I want you to understand it. And I want to be with you wherever you go. Man, what an incredible promise. What an incredible privilege you and I have that the God of the universe loves us so much that he gives us his word. He gives us the way to live our lives the way it was meant to be lived. And he promises that he wants to be with us all along the way. And so listening to God is essential to living a successful life. And so here's a question I want you to reflect on as we kind of think about that idea of listening to God. What does God's word clearly say that you need to specifically and especially listen to right now? What does God's word clearly say, like in the Bible, that you've been reading or reflecting on or heard recently? What does God's word clearly say that you need to especially listen to right now? Not someone else, not just generalities, like specifically you in your life right now. For me, I think the Lord is wanting me to especially listen to in this season the idea of walking and growing in patience. If you read Galatians 6, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace. Patience is kind of the fourth virtue in that list, if you will. And I feel like in so many different ways, the Lord is just really teaching me right now that he wants me to grow in my patience and in waiting on him. Especially with, man, it's just some friends of mine that are going through difficult, challenging times. One really good friend of mine, he and his wife just had their son about 8 months ago. And as soon as he was born, he had to have heart surgery, like within minutes. And ever since then, he's had, you know, physical therapy and doctor appointments and all of these different things to just, you know, like bring him back to full health or to as full of health as he possibly can. And man, I've just been praying for him and praying for them in the midst of a really difficult and challenging season. And you know what I wish? That the first time I prayed it, God was like, okay, got it, done, he's healed, he's all good. But he hasn't done that. And man, maybe you in your life, you've been praying for something or you've been hoping that God would do something in your life and he hasn't you know, come through yet in the way that you would like him to. And man, maybe God is teaching you or calling you or inviting you to especially listen to the fact that he wants you and I to grow in how patient we are in life. Because if you truly want to live a successful life, you got to listen to God. Okay, so how many of you guys, if you ordered something that you have to put together and it comes with an instruction manual, how many of you guys read the instruction manual before you do anything else? Let me see the hands. Yeah, we got a small minority. How many of you just go, I can figure this out. I'm gonna put it together. I'm gonna make it work. The majority of you. That's exactly what I. That's exactly what I would expect. Come back with me. That's exactly what I would expect in an audience this size, that you're like, what would I read the instruction manual? I can figure this out all on my own. And while that might be good for putting together your desk or your bed or, you know, a side table, man, it's not a good practice or a good system for living through life. Making it on your own, figuring it out as you go, man, it just doesn't work out. And we're going to see some of that as well later on. All right, so the first way, if you want to live a successful life, if you want to experience it, you listen to God. Number two, you look back on his work in your life. You look back on his work in your life. And so, in that story, in the book of Joshua, if you've never read it, I highly encourage you. If you don't have a plan for spending time in God's word this summer, the book of Joshua is an incredible place to start and see and learn from how God uses Joshua to lead the nation of Israel. It's an incredible, amazing story. So, the second way to experience a successful life is to look back on God's work in your life. And so in the book of Joshua, right after God gives Joshua this amazing speech, the nation of Israel is going into the promised land. But there's a problem. Between them and the promised land is the Jordan River. And so we have a map here really quick that you can see. So imagine that they're on kind of the right side of this picture, you know, hoping to go onto the left side where you see the name Israel. That's where they're going. That's where the land that God has promised to them. But this river stands in their way. And so I did a ton of research to try to give you a picture of what the challenge was that they were facing. And so I think we have another picture here of kind of a look at the Jordan River. At some spots, it's about 15 miles wide. And at other spots, it's like 100 miles wide, which kind of feels not that wide, but 100 feet is, you were like, what? 15 miles wide at its widest points, and some points it's like around 100 feet, which is basically the size, the height of this tower that we're in right now. So it's really wide still. And most of it is about 17 feet deep. So this isn't, they're not going over a puddle trying to get into the promised land is the point I'm trying to make, right? And so they're going into the promised land. They have this hurdle of the Jordan River right in front of them. And God tells them, hey, here's how you're going to do this. The religious leaders, the chief priests, the pastors, if you will, of the nation of Israel are going to go down to the river. They're going to stand and put their feet in the water. And as soon as their feet touch the water, it's gonna part. And the water is going to stop on this side at a certain point, and it's going to stop on this side at a certain point. And this entire nation of about 2 million people are going to cross this river on dry ground. So they listen to God, and the leaders go, and they stand in the middle of the river, and it stops, y'all. Like, you've heard the story maybe of the Red Sea and Moses putting out his staff and the Red Sea parting and the nation walking through. A generation later, a very similar miracle happens. God provides for them. God works miraculously and amazingly in their lives. Can you picture it? Picture 2 million people walking across this deep riverbed, and it's dry because it stopped on both sides because God made it happen. It's amazing. And then right after all of the nation gets through the Jordan River, God tells them to do something. It sounds kind of weird at first. He tells them, hey, I want you to go into the river and grab 12 stones, 12 rocks, and I want you to put up like a monument, if you will. And they're like, why are we doing this? That sounds so random and weird. But God tells them that it is for the purpose of reminding them of his work in their lives. So really quickly, Joshua chapter 4, the second part of verse 6 and verse 7, is where we get the explanation of why God wanted them to get these stones, put them together to create this memory, this monument to remind them. It says, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And so God was saying, you need to put this memory-making moment in the history of the nation of Israel. You need to tell the story to future generations because I worked mightily and amazingly and powerfully in your lives. Now, why would God want to encourage them to do that? To look back on his work in their life and by extension encourage us to do the same thing. Why would he want to do that? Well, it's because it's so easy to forget. We're such a forgetful people. And so God never wanted them to forget his work in their life. And so he wanted them to erect this monument to remind them of his faithfulness. Why? Because looking back, remembering God's work in their life in the past would inspire them and would encourage them for God's work in the present, right? If they were in a discouraging situation or a challenging situation, you know what that was supposed to do? They're supposed to be able to look at that or remember that story and go, you know what? This is really hard. This is a challenging time in my life. But I remember when God did and fill in the blank, right? Because it's so easy for us to forget. And so, here's how I want us to apply this. Here's a question I want you to reflect on, think on, write down, maybe even journal about later. What prayer has God answered in the past 3 months? So like something that maybe you've prayed for consistently in your life, in your family's life, whatever the prayer is, what prayer has God answered in the past 3 months? And if you can't think of anything, maybe in the past 3 months, all of 2021 so far, I want you to think of something, because remembering God's work in your life in the past is an encouragement and an inspiration to help you in the present, right? It makes sense. What prayer has God answered in your life in the past 3 months? And so for me, there's a couple quick ones I want to share with you, man. One is that God has provided general health for my son, Winslow. Here's a picture of him and my wife, Hannah. We're at Hudson House, which has an incredible cheeseburger, by the way. But that's not the point of this picture. When he was born, there's a couple of health things that he was experiencing with his kidneys and with maybe an illness that he had. And over the course of the first couple months, there was lots of doctor appointments and just trying to make sure that he was okay. And during that whole time, we were praying, like, God, like, please, you know, help him, heal him, make this challenge or whatever it is not be true. And by God's sovereignty and grace and kindness, he did. You know, and that's something that I can look back on and say, man, in the midst of that hard time, God worked in our lives. Another one that's maybe a little bit different from this one is a couple months ago, Austin Mankin, some of you know him. He took his talents to Wake to go lead the Wake ministry here, grade 6 through 8. And so that left a hole on our team, and we prayed, man, God, will you send us someone to lead the guys' small groups here in Shoreline, and won't God do it? He sent us Will McElroy. Yeah. Kaylee's really pumped about it. I'm excited for him. He has jumped in on our team, has led and served faithfully so far over the last 2 months, but truly, he was an answer to prayer for our team and for this ministry and for your continued growth and discipleship, which is amazing. And guys, last but not least, another prayer that I've been praying. A few of us are going to serve with Mission of Hope in Florida in about 5 weeks or so. And usually when you go on one of these trips, you serve during the day, and then in the evening, your group, you know, gathers together to share stories, testimonies, maybe to reflect on like what happened during the day. And one of the things that we love doing on those times is worshiping God, like not on a stage, but just in the open spaces, wherever we are, worshiping and singing songs of praise to God. And this time, I knew for a fact, or I thought I did at least, that we didn't have anyone going on a trip that would be able to play a guitar and lead us in worship and encourage our hearts that way. And so I started praying, like legitimately, like, Lord, help us, please. Help us figure this out. How are we going to get some opportunities to worship you through song while we're on this trip? And won't God do it? He answered our prayers. I don't know if you know this, but allegedly, I haven't heard her play yet, but she says that she can lead worship. And so Kaylee Wright is going to lead worship on this trip, and it's going to be awesome. And then I'll come back and update you on how she did. But that was another answer to prayer. Like, those are just three examples I wanted to give you to help model for you that we don't just pray and then forget about what we pray, but that we continue on and that we take the moments and opportunities to stop and thank God when he does. When he does answer the prayer, maybe in the way we hoped or maybe in a very different way. So, if you want to live a successful life, you listen to God, you look back on his work in your life, and finally, you leave your idols behind. If you want to experience a truly successful life, you leave your idols behind. So, to illustrate this point or to share this point, we're going to jump to the end of the book of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24. So this is after, you know, the nation of Israel has taken over the entire promised land. They've, you know, crossed the Jordan River on the dry ground, and they've defeated all of these enemies, and they've taken over the land. And Joshua is giving his final words, his final message to the nation of Israel, and I think by extension to us today. And here's what he says to those people in that day. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua presents the nation of Israel with a choice that I think every single one of us has today. That you can either choose to worship and follow God, to listen to him, to allow his word to inform how we live our lives, to look back on his work in our lives, or we can choose idols. And for them, idols were these man-made, you know, statues or gods that they thought of that would give them success in life. But for us, you know, not many of you have, you know, some idols in your closet at your house, but you do have idols. Because an idol is anything other than God that wants to influence the direction of your life. Anything or anyone other than God that wants to influence or direct your life. An idol promises you a successful life, but it can never truly deliver on that promise. And so for us, maybe some modern day idols, I'll just read through these. Maybe it's the idol of people pleasing. What do I need to do so that everyone else likes me? Or the idol of pleasure seeking. What do I need to do so I can feel good and feel how I want to feel? What do I need to look at? Where do I need to go? What do I need to indulge in? Maybe it's the idol of fitting in, or the idol of materialism and possessions, or the idol of popularity. And I could go on and on. And maybe you're even thinking of what your idol is in your own mind and in your own heart right now. And so I want to challenge you with this question. What idol are you tempted to run to right now? Not someone else, not students in general, you. What idol, what thing are you tempted to allow or run after because it promises a successful life, but it really can never deliver on that promise? Because every one of us has a choice, right? Every one of us has the freedom to choose God or to choose that idol, whatever it is. But I want to tell you as we close that choosing whatever that idol is the easiest way to ruin your life. And if I know this group of people well, you don't want to ruin your life. You want to experience a truly successful life. But chasing after idols is the fastest way, is the easiest way to ruin your life. And it's interesting to see if you read through the book of Joshua and just are encouraged by what he just said at the end in Joshua chapter 24, where he says, hey, choose who you'll serve, either the false gods or the one true God. And then later on in the book right after, the book of Judges, we see the choice that the people make. So let's look at Judges chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Judges 2, verses 10 and 11. And it starts off like this. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, so in other words, Joshua and all the people that, you know, saw the miracles and crossed the Jordan and took, you know, conquered the land. After that whole generation passed away, here are a couple things that happened. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord, which points back to our first point. They didn't listen to God because they didn't even know who God was. So this new generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what? Nor knew what he had done for Israel. They had forgotten. They hadn't looked back at what God had done in their lives to inspire and encourage them to be faithful in the present. You see how it all works together? And here's what happens when you don't listen to God and when you don't look back on how he has worked in your life. The next verse is what happens to the Israelites, and I think to us. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, or they served the idols of the day. Idolatry always is appealing when you don't listen to God and when you don't look at and reflect on how he has worked in your life. And so the book of Judges is really sad in some ways and inspiring in some ways. And I'll explain what I mean. The whole book of Judges is basically the nation of Israel doing whatever they want, running after idols, God sending other nations for judgment on them for rejecting who God was. And then in the midst of their judgment, they cried out, God, help us. And God's like, okay, I'll send a judge your way. And the judge would lead them in victory and deliverance over these enemy nations. And then when they would get free, they would be like, we're back in. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow him all of our days. And then guess what would happen next? They would not listen to God. And they wouldn't reflect on his work in their lives. and then the nation of Israel would sin against God again. And the cycle would continue over and over and over again. Now, that's pretty sad. But what's really inspiring is that even in the midst of their continued over and over, repeated rebellion and rejection of God, even in their continued running toward idols in their lives, God was still merciful. God would still come their way, and God would say, I still want to have a relationship with you. I want to make a way for us to be connected and reunited the way that it was always meant to be. And that was a picture and a reflection of what would come later on in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that the God of the universe would send his only son to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death, and to raise again from the dead because he wanted to make a way for you to be reunited with God. And so Jesus came to lead you out of a life ruined by sin. Jesus came to lead you out of a life ruined by sin into a life reunited with him. Jesus came to lead you out of a life ruined by sin and into a life reunited with him. That's why he came, because he wanted to continue to demonstrate the love, the patience, the kindness that was demonstrated to the nation of Israel that would run from him over and over and over again. And man, you have an incredible privilege right now in 2021 to embrace the truth of the gospel, to entrust your life to God, to be reunited with him, not because of how good you are or how moral you can be, but because of Jesus and his work on your behalf and trusting in that. And man, when you do that, Jesus then empowers you by the power of the Spirit to listen to God, to look back and to reflect on God's work in your life and to leave your idols behind. And that, my friends, is how you truly experience a successful life. Not the one that you think, or not the one that the world thinks, but the real kind of successful life. Let me pray that we would. God, thank you for these students. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Joshua and what we get to learn from him, of how he listened to you, how he looked back on your work in his life, and how he left idols behind and called other people to do the same. I pray for the students in this room or listening to do that exact thing, and that they would be reminded and encouraged and strengthened by the fact that Jesus came to free them from a life where they were dead to sin and to reunite them with God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.